I'm glad y'all are here. I appreciate you all being at our youth conference again and looking forward to a great fast. I mean, less than 24 hours. Many of you will be back home by this time tomorrow. And we want to be a blessing to you, and we're thankful for. Let me just say real quickly at the very beginning, just to thank all the members of BBC, Bible Baptist Church, for the work they put into this and the food we'll be having and all the activities, and appreciate this so much. Also appreciate Brother Luke coming up ahead of time and helping out with songs and all that stuff. And then Brother Charlie Clark from the Northeast, a Yankee of Yankees, is coming down to the Midwest to hang out with y'all for 2 days. And so it's so good to have Brother Charlie Clark. I know many of you are familiar with him through different other ministries, but also his family's music has been a blessing to so many of us, and we're so thankful for that. And it's an opportunity for him to preach, and we're looking forward to hearing him tonight. Well, we picked this theme 5G because everybody knows what this is. How many of you have one of these? Go ahead, and if you have it with you right now, literally just lift it up in the sky. Let's see how many of us have these cell phones, right? I know this is going to shock you guys. When I was your age, we didn't even know these were going to even exist. We didn't even know that this was going to be a thought someday. We still had those. I remember being excited because they had wireless phones. Like, because I got tired of the long cords dangling, and sometimes they get twisted up, and you get tangled in them. And you know, my mom and dad were deaf, so I didn't have to worry about my mom always being on the phone. But I would go to my friends' houses, and some of these moms would get these extension ones that are, like, so long, they could literally walk through the whole house and still work on things, work in the kitchen. And that cord would get so stretched, like that phone's hanging on the wall by faith, you know what I mean? It's like crazy. And now the whole world's been changed by this thing. In fact, I'm looking out on the crowd right now, and some people are literally on their phones right now. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing how much this thing consumes us. Consumes us. I mean, people in church are having, most of us would die if we might not know where our Bible is, right? But if we don't know where this is, I mean, we literally go crazy. I mean, what are we going to do? And if the power goes out, it's useless. So we thought about that, 5G. 5G is the new system used to connect telecommunications. I'm not a tech guy. I did some research on it. Of course, our 5G stands for God, Grace, Giving, Gospel, and Go. But we just traveled to the Bahamas, and they even have 5G there. But a lot of the circuits there are still LTE, and there's sometimes I even was on 3G. So it makes you appreciate 5G because 5G is fast, and 5G is supposed to be better and all that stuff. But listen, everything when it comes to cell phones is based on one simple thing, and that's why we picked this theme as the conference. Listen, it bases on connection. Everything's about connection. Hey, can I connect to your Wi-Fi? We put the phone on airplane mode. What happens when the phone goes on airplane mode? It's completely disconnected from the technology, the cell phone towers. There's no service. And once you get back and you take off airplane mode, then you're connected again. And you think about it, as cell phone users, we all know what these familiar phrases mean. Man, I had to call you back. I lost you. How many of you said that before? How about this? Man, I'm in a bad area right now. I'll call you back when I get in a good area. How about this? Man, I got bad reception. How many of you, be honest, you're in church, have actually used that as an excuse to hang up your phone? Man, I can't hear you. I can't. Every time Brother Junior calls me, that's what I do. I use that as an excuse to hang up on Brother Junior. So I love you, Brother Junior. I love you. Brother Junior walks in the door and goes right into the game, man. He's a true youth pastor, right? But we say that. How about this? I only have 2 bars right now. I'll call you back when I got more bars, right? We all know what that means. How about this? I didn't hear my phone ring. Someone I love very much loves to leave her phone on silent all the time. How many have wives that love to leave their phone on silent and they forget to take it off silent until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they have 15 missed calls from their husband? Anybody like that? Anybody know how that feels? Brother Luke, I think you can relate to that. I know Brother Dave can. We all been there, right? How about this? My phone is dead. What does that mean? We always say that. Man, my phone died. I'm sorry I missed your text, your phone call. My phone died. We all say that. It's funny. Did the phone literally die? I mean, did it literally die? We had to bury it and have a funeral. No, but we say the phone died. Why do we say the phone died? Somebody tell me real quick. Come on, tell me why. Because the battery's dead, and you got to what? Plug it back in and charge it in. How about this? This is my favorite. When you literally can hear the person talking to you, and I still think this is a weird thing. I can hear the person talking to me, and I'm talking back, and they can't hear me. Man, I can't hear you. And I'm like, I'm here. I can hear you. How come you can hear? I can hear you, but you can't hear me, right? Sometimes I think they're playing with my mind too. And then can I just put in a public thing? Can the cell phone companies please tell us, please stop telling us how to leave a voicemail? If you don't know how to leave a voicemail by now, then I would recommend that you just go ahead and just jump off, or just go off the end of the world and just hang out in a cave somewhere. Because if you, listen, to leave a voicemail, stop. We know how to leave a voicemail right now. Can I get an amen right there, right? But I want you to think about this. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, seven times, Jesus says to those churches a simple statement. Here's what he says. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He says in Revelation 2, verse 7. He says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He says in verse number 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He says in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 28, he that hath, or 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Revelation chapter 3, verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Revelation chapter 3, verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Verse number 23 of chapter 3, 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear. What is he saying here? He's saying, hey, if you have an ear, then you need to hear. And God is still speaking to us today. God's 5G of God, grace, giving, gospel, go. Those five major doctrines, those five major activities that Christians engage in are still necessary today. We still need to live in them, and we still need to live by them, and we still need to live for them. But listen to me. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He's still speaking. He's still moving. He's still working. But here's the problem. Too many of us are not connected anymore. There's two simple points to this message, and I'll be done in about 10 minutes. 10, 11, 12 minutes, all right? Number one, get connected. Get connected. Now, I'm just going to tell you what we do at our house. In my house, you don't get a cell phone until you turn until you're a senior in high school. That's just what we do at our house. You say, why? Because I've seen so many teenagers get a cell phone, and they go from serving God to not caring about God anymore. They go from being interested in Jesus to being interested in all about boys and girls and social media and Snapchat and Twitter. And I like, what does that one preacher say? He goes, one preacher took a selfie. He goes, make sure you put that on Facegram and Insta-tweet, right? You know, so I mean, he's like teasing about all, there's so many different social media platforms. And listen, let's be honest with it. I have them, and I'm not against them, but a lot of people are using them for wrong. A lot of people are using them for wicked. And as Christians today, we have been given an opportunity to share the gospel and Christian living with the world without going to their doors, without sending money, without mailing tracts. I mean, God has given us an opportunity to minister to the world through social media, and yet so many of us today are not using that because you may be connected to AT&T, you may be connected to Verizon and T-Mobile, but we're not connected to him anymore. It's like God's speaking and we're not hearing him anymore. God is still wanting to use teenagers, but we're not listening anymore. And the challenge tonight is this. Make sure you get these 5 G's again. It starts number one with God. And I remember each of my kids, my daughter Claire still doesn't have a cell phone. She has an old phone that she uses on Wi-Fi. But that's just the way it is in our family. That's the way it is in our house. I had a lady come to me several years ago and say, but preacher, what if one of your children get a flat tire and they don't have a cell phone? I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You're right. Back in the day, we just died on the side of the road. I mean, it's all hopeless without a cell phone. But listen to me, young people, listen to me. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. I'm going to start this conference off right. Some of you, you know you're backsliding, you're struggling with your relationship with God, and you know one of the reasons is because of this. I'm going to say it because somebody needs to say it. Too many of you are listening to Taylor Swift. Her new album just came out. No born-again person should ever listen to her. She's come a long way from the sweet country girl singer she was about 10 years ago. I'm not picking on Taylor Swift. And before you criticize me, have you prayed for 5 minutes recently for her salvation? I did. We are so obsessed with the Taylor Swifts of the world and so obsessed with the world, and we want to look like them and dress like them and talk of them because we're so connected to social media and we have all these people that we follow, and yet we have forgotten to follow the most important one of them all, and that's God. And number one, it starts with salvation. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you connected at salvation? You see, each time my kid got a new cell phone, they walked in, they were excited, they got that new phone, and immediately the first thing I got to do, they got to connect to the cell service, connect to the company. Otherwise, the cell phone is completely useless, right? You got to get connected. And listen to me, some of you today, maybe you're not even sure you're saved. You're not even sure you're going to heaven someday. You've not been born again. You're not a child of God. You might be trusting in something else to get you to heaven. Hey, you got to connect in the first place. You need to be saved. Can I ask you a question today? Do you know for sure that you've been saved? Do you know for sure that you've been born again? Is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Jesus said in John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said it. You must be born again. What is he saying? You got to have two birthdays. Everybody needs to have two birthdays. One birthday, you die twice. Two birthdays, you die once. What do you mean? Salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is still the answer. And tonight, I want to make sure you're connected in the first place. I want everybody right now to just to think about that serious thought. Right now, just take a moment. Pause. Think about it. Are you a child of God? You do realize right now that we are living in the midst of Israel's Passover. Israel has all the materials they need to build the temple. The red heifers are in place. There is nothing preventing Jesus from coming back. The rapture could happen. Iran is toying around with attacking Israel, and they've already kind of tested with some drones recently. The world is in chaos. Even lost people are afraid. I heard the number one podcaster on the planet with my own ears. I'm not condoning everything he says. But Joe Rogan said recently that he can't sleep at night sometimes because he's so afraid of current events. And many Christians don't even care and aren't paying attention because you're saved, but you're not connected anymore. You're like a cell phone on airplane mode. You're like a cell phone whose battery has died. And you're just coasting through life. And listen to me, church. Listen to me. I don't care how fancy your phone is. I don't care if you have the newest iPhone 15. If it doesn't have any battery or juice, the cell phone is useless. And Christians today are sitting in youth groups and churches all across the country. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly here. I'm tired of the devil robbing Christians of the potential. And I look at this room tonight and I see potential. I see hope. I see excitement. I see a group of people that could change your church, change your city, change your state, and even still change the nation today. Amen. We're not connected anymore. Number one, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're born again? Right now, let's bow our heads and close our eyes just briefly. I want you to go back to the very place it was where you got born again. Where was it when you got saved? Was it at church? Was it at home? Was it at a camp? Did your mom tell you? Did your dad tell you? Did a preacher preach? Did a youth pastor tell you? Was it in a Sunday school room? Listen to me. Everybody in this room ought to have a story where you can tell. Man, the first time I met Jesus and I got saved and I got the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody ought to have a story. And listen to me tonight. If you don't have that story, we're going to give you a chance to get one in just a little while. All right, everybody look up here real quick. Okay, thank you. You guys are doing great. I'm proud of you. I'm almost through. I told you I was going to be long. Number two, some of you have been connected. You've been saved, but you need to reconnect. Revival is not for lost people because of one simple thing, the re in it. You cannot re something that has never been done in the first place. If you're a member of something and you renew your membership, that means you used to be a member and you are newing it again. That's what it means. Again, new. Renew. And so many Christians today, you've been saved. You know you're going to heaven. You know you've been born again. But you know in your heart, and by the way, you can still check off your Bible reading charts. You can still act like you're praying. You can even act and walk the Christian life. You can come to church. But I'm telling you right now, it does not matter. This 5G right here, so many of us, we know we're not right with God. We know we're not close to the Lord. And we're living in a day and age now where we Christians ought to be closer to Him than ever. He's coming back anytime. I mean, Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. So Jesus tells the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 right here, here's what he says. Thou hast left thy first love. He does not say thou hast lost thy first love. He says thou hast left thy first love. What I love about that is this. See, God doesn't believe in losing stuff once you get saved, you're always saved. How many birthdays you got? One, right, physically? Guess what? How many spiritual birthdays you got? Once. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. He didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again and again. You must be born again. I was born physically August 28, 1975. I'll be 49 years old this August. Still very young, amen? But I was saved July 17, 1994. I'll be 30 years old in the Lord this July. Born again. I failed Him so many times. I've been disconnected from Him too many times. I've been on airplane mode more times than I want to admit. God bless you. You may have lost your brain there. You might want to reconnect to your brain there. That was a pretty powerful sneeze. Stay with me now. I'm almost through. But the happiest time in my life is when I'm plugged into God, charged up, being used of God, and I've not left that first love. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will never abandon you. God will never neglect you. But oh my, Brother Charlie, I've neglected him. I've forsaken him and abandoned him, and I hate it. But boy, there's a sweet time when you reconnect. So tonight it's simple. You're in one of three categories. You're not saved, and you need to connect for the first time. You need to get saved. You're connected and you're doing great. You came here just to get fired up, and maybe you're hoping to find your future spouse here. And girls, I'm sorry. I know you're very disappointed by what you see tonight. I'm sorry. The good-looking men are all taken already. Right, Brother Luke? Right, Brother Charlie? Brother Charlie is the ageless wonder. Like, he's like 70, but he looks like he's 15. I mean, you'll meet Brother Charlie in just a second, man. He says he looks like a third-grade girl, but he looks like a third-grade boy. I just want that to be clear there. But the third group is the one that I really think is sad. You're saved. You've been connected at once. But you're not connected right now. And you know you're not. My heart breaks. Because the happiest you'll ever be in your life is when you are connected with God. Right with God. 5G. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're on the phone, or maybe you're doing something, all of a sudden you get bad connection. It's like, oh, you get so frustrated, right? So many times we get frustrated in life, and little did we realize we're just not connected anymore. Get connected. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well.
All right, good evening, everybody. This thing is over my head. This is tall man territory and big man territory. Here, figure out how to lower that for me. Hebrews chapter 11 in the Word of God, please. Hebrews chapter 11. And yeah, that's cool. Wherever, did you lock it in? Come on, man, let's go. Do a good job. You had one job. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm glad that you're, am I okay down here? Is that all right there? That's not bad. Give me 4 inches down. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, or close.
Tell me where you want.
Yeah, that's cool right there. That's better. There we go. Hebrews chapter 11 in the Word of God. I'm so glad to be here. I could not believe it when we came around the bend here, and he said, that's the church. It was just amazing to see this church building, and I am glad for the opportunity to be here and to preach tonight, and I've been in the building, and I've been freezing. I've been cold, and you get old, you get cold, and Brother Randy, he sweats all the time, and my wife, she hates to watch preachers who are sweating. So he was talking about this earlier. She sits in the back so she doesn't have to watch him do his, you know how he does with the, and do all that. But here you don't sweat. I had icicles coming off of me. But anyway, and this is big man. I'm around him, and that's what I said. I feel like a little third grade girl when I'm around Pastor Randy, and I'm just scrawny, man. And compared to him, he gives me a hug, and I'm like, I disappear. They gave us clothes to wear here, and they gave us jeans to put on, and I saw the tag on it said loose, and I said that's about right. I don't have to worry about wearing skinny jeans here at this youth conference. All right, they fit them for the pastor. We went loose, amen. And so that's good. But anyway, I'm glad you all made it. You had a great spirit tonight. Brother Luke's done a great job. All the special music, I know they sang it for the Lord, but if you appreciate all the music tonight, would you give them a hand for the glory of God? I appreciate that. Good songs tonight. And anytime there is a youth conference, then there's always going to be a lot of work, and I appreciate this church. Thank you, Bible Baptist, for being willing to put on the youth conference. And I am from New Jersey. And am I just in a bad spot? I know the guys are working through it. It's not their fault. We're okay. If this is the one monitor spot and I'm going to drive them crazy, I can move, guys. I'll preach from the side. All right. But anyway, how many of you never been to New Jersey? Have never been to New Jersey? All right, that's a majority. How many of you don't care if you ever go to New Jersey? How many of you want to go to New York City? See, all right, some of you want to go there. The Northeast is starting to get crazy, so a lot of people are just avoiding us completely. But that's where I'm from, and my dad got saved when he was 30 years old. My mom was 28. They were just typical New Jersey people, lost and on the way to hell. But thank God for the grace of God, and they got saved. My dad got saved, got involved in a local church. My mom did too, and they just started serving God. My dad ended up in ministry. And then in 1980, we went to Brother Roloff. Some of you might know the name Lester Roloff, and he lived a while ago now, but Brother Roloff had a home for people that were in trouble, drugs, alcohol, teenagers that struggle with whatever issues. And we lived there just one school year, but it really impacted my dad. He came back and started our church in 1981, Solid Rock Baptist Church. And we've been there and ever since. And so I got saved at 8 years old. I'm 56 now, so I got saved in 1976. Man, that's like dinosaur days. Some of you like read that in your history books, but I got saved by the grace of God. And at a youth meeting when I was 13, Dr. Clarence Sexton had a church in New Jersey back then. We were in a little room, side room. They did breakout sessions on a Friday night thing like this and talked about the importance of wisdom, praying for wisdom. And it was something at 13, I just started to pray for it and put on a prayer list. The Lord was working in my heart. At 14, went to youth conference, just surrendered. Lord, whatever you want. And that's what I had told the Lord. At 15, I didn't really expect it, but the Lord knocked on the door of my heart about preaching the Word of God, and that's been a great privilege to do that. And so when I finished Bible college, 21, 1989, I started working with my dad full-time, and I've been there ever since. And my brother, I say my little brother, he's 50-whatever now, and we've been together a long time there and just serving the Lord in New Jersey, trying to reach the heathens of New Jersey and the mission field there, and God's been good to us. So we have a good time at the church. Brother Randy mentioned our family with the music or whatever. That's ever been a blessing. Somebody spoke to me earlier. I'm glad and praise the Lord for that. And it's just good to be able to serve God. And maybe you came in here tonight. Maybe you're new to the youth department that brought you here tonight. Maybe you never came to a youth meeting like this before. I'll just say this, you're in a good place because people that believe the Bible, that's a good group of people to hang around, all right? And so we're in Hebrews chapter 11. Be here tonight, tomorrow. It'll go real quickly. And I know there's all kinds of things. You come to a youth meeting, it's hard to just whatever you did today to get zoned in. But I appreciate the way you listen to Brother Randy and responsiveness here at the altar call, the invitation. So thank you for that. I'm not planning to preach all night long. I'm not known for short messages like the Reverend is over here and how he can do that. But I'm also not going to try to preach all night long. And I want to try to help you tonight. So I'm just, again, in our local church trying to help. My wife, we had three daughters and no boys. I'm a girl dad. You ladies understand that. Daddy's girls, that's what I had, three of them. And two of them are married. Now I have three grandkids. How about that, right? My oldest grandson, he turned three yesterday. And so we had a party for him. I bought him a one of those ride-on electric cars there, Brother Randy. I could have bought a real car for what I paid for that. No lie. I won't even tell you what it is. It's got air conditioning. Like, no lie. And I promise, it's got air conditioning. You feel it blowing through the thing. It's got Bluetooth on the radio there. Yeah, you can play it through there. Remote control where, like, the kid thinks he's driving, but if he's going to crash, your remote overpowers what he's doing. Like that. Yeah, it's big league. So, you know, grandpa of the year right here. And he got in it and he got scared of it because it stopped real sudden. And he got scared. He started crying. And my granddaughter just turned 1 year old. She thought it was great. So we put her behind the steering wheel. He's three crying on the side. My 1 year old granddaughter, she's laughing and going crazy and just enjoying it. So that's how that went yesterday. But anyway, I got pictures tonight and he's loving it now. So that's good. And I love my grandkids, and I love my kids, love my family. Young people, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I'm a poor man when it comes to finances as compared to a lot of people in the world, but I'm rich because I'm living for Jesus, right? And the greatest life lived is a life lived for Christ. There's no doubt about that. And so I'm glad that you're here. Now, reality is you walk in tonight, there's some people here, and you've been walking with the Lord, and you've been having your devotions, and you're trying to serve God, and trying to stay clean, then kind of, I'd use this term, maybe just, you know, in a good place with the Lord. Maybe there's some others kind of in the middle, and maybe not where you were, spiritually speaking, just kind of, you know, depends on who you're with, how you're living for God or not. And then maybe there's somebody here just kind of cold in your heart. Maybe either you don't know Christ. Brother Randy mentioned about the idea of getting connected. Maybe you've never been saved. And by the way, just because you go to church or I don't care if your dad's a pastor. I was a preacher's kid, so it doesn't matter who you are. And when I say this, I'm not trying to talk anyone out of your salvation. You only have to be saved one time, but you do have to be saved one time. And that's very important. Maybe you're not saved, or maybe you're saved but disconnected, as we heard tonight. Maybe in a cold spot. Please hear me. Whether you're in that cold spot, kind of stuck in the middle a little bit here, or even if you're just really trying to do the right thing, in either of those three groups, please hear me. God wants to talk to you tonight. And I believe that, because anytime we open the Word of God, God wants to speak. There's no book like the Bible. And the more you get into the Bible, the more the Bible will get into you.
Amen.
So we're in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to pray. I'm going to jump in here. I'd like you to follow with all of your heart tonight, and I really would appreciate you doing that. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your Holy Spirit will move here in our midst. Lord, I don't have anything, Lord, that could change lives, but you do, and from your Word. And I pray that the Spirit of God would just make the scriptures jump off the page. I pray it would grab our attention. I pray for anyone not saved that they get saved. And Lord, I pray for everyone who is saved that we'd be stirred. I pray for my wife speaking in New York tonight. I pray you be with her and bless her. And Lord, I pray for anywhere there's a youth meeting going on in this country. I pray, Lord, that you bring a spirit of revival. And God, I pray you'd help our churches, help our nation. And we love you and praise you. We pray in Christ's precious and holy and wonderful. Amen. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11. If you look in verse 23 with me, please. By faith, Moses, when he was born. Now, if you don't have a Bible, there's one there in the songbook rack. Go ahead and grab it if you don't have it. And table of contents, if you don't know how to find Hebrews. And if you're near somebody who doesn't know how to turn and find it, you all help them out, all right? We're in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, this is not the message, and I did not plan to say this, but I just had this thought, right? You need to have a Bible. You need to take good care of your Bible. And your Bible needs to be something where you know where it's at, and you're marking your Bible, or you're in your Bible, okay? And we're beating up on cell phones tonight, even though a bunch of us have them. But if you do have a cell phone, typically you know where it's at. Come on, right? And if not, you're very nervous about it. So the Bible, I just had that thought as I started to read. Make sure you have a Bible that you really love.
Amen.
And make sure that you take care of it. Hebrews chapter 11, 23. By faith who? Moses. Are you there? Verse 23. By faith who? Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Now in the Bible, Egypt is a type of the world. Everybody help me on that. Egypt's a type of the what?
World.
The world. Now we live in the world, but we're talking about especially the world's system, the world's passions, the idea of what the world loves and out there. Now, there's some things we share a love for with other people in the world. For instance, how many of you love food? Would you say amen right there, right? And food is a good thing, right? And you girls don't act all timid, you know. No, I don't really like, no, yes you do. Yes you do. You girls like food, especially when the boys aren't around, you know. Some of you girls, just take water, and the boys are, you know, and then the boys aren't there. I'll take a double-double, you know, and whatever it is. My daughter Vanessa, Vanessa was my eater and growing up here. She steak from the time she was little. Just steak, Dad. She's an alto. If you listen to any of our music, she's the alto. Sounds like a North Carolina smoking woman. And, she came out of the womb that way from the time, you know, as a baby. But, Dad, I'm hungry. And I want some steak. And how many of you girls are in the steak ministry? You know what I'm talking about? There we go. And that was Vanessa. But anyway, there are some things where we share a mutual love with people in the world. But we're talking about especially the sinfulness of the world and the goals of the world, the desires of the world, the idea of living for the flesh. And in the Bible, Egypt, it's a type of the world's sin and the world's system in particular. In Egypt, when we look at this story with Moses, was the most powerful nation on earth, and Pharaoh would have been the most powerful man on earth. And in Egypt, I know it's hard to imagine this, but he was viewed as a god. Lowercase g. Pharaoh was viewed as a god. And sometimes around the world, people still look to people like that. Some of you have heard of the Dalai Lama. They would look at somebody like that and they'd worship them. And throughout history, that's been a thing. World War II, you'd known of the Japanese emperor. And they would have worshipped the emperor and looked at him as a god. And that's what was going on with Pharaoh. They also had false gods there in Egypt. And it was a place that was demonically empowered. Young people, the world does have power. The devil has power. Just because Pastor Randy mentioned it, the idea of Taylor Swift and that whole thing with the devilish stuff around her. And some of you saw like the report after the Super Bowl, whoever that chick was that was in the box with Taylor there and throwing up all these demonic symbols and signs and all that kind of stuff. That's real things. Now, some of you, maybe you walked in here tonight, maybe if you're not used to being in church, you're like, man, why are they beating up on Taylor? But it's not that we're just not loving the person. It's the idea of everything that the world's involved with. There is an actual devil, and there's power behind that. All right? So I'm not. The message isn't necessarily about music tonight, but it's a powerful world system out there. And there are principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's all really part of what Egypt is. And so this is the world that Moses was there here and part of. He was living in. The Jews were slaves to the Egyptians. And Moses was born into that world. And Pharaoh was murdering all of the boys in Egypt that were 2 years old and under. May I remind you, murdering babies is a wicked sin. Okay? And it does not matter what is legalized in our country. It is still wicked to murder a baby. And so in Moses' day, when he was born, they were murdering all the babies that were 2 years old and under. But God providentially intervened. You know what providence is? Somebody help me. What's providence? If I use that word, what does that mean? Anybody know? It's a word they used to use a lot in the founding of our country. What is providence? Anybody help me? What? Yes, ma'am. Okay, all right, the idea of protecting, that would be part of providence, no doubt. I'll give you a simple definition. Providence is God's hand at work in your life. Would you say that? Providence is what? God's hand at work in your life. And God worked in Moses' life, and ultimately his mom was determined to have his life saved. And if you've ever heard the story, he was rescued. They put him in this little basket there and floated him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter had seen this little baby crying there, and he got adopted into Pharaoh's own family and was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And it was a miracle of God where God preserved his life. And there was amazing things that happened with Moses. Look in verse 27. I want you to notice, after being raised there in Pharaoh's palace, there's a statement I want you to especially mark in your Bible, verse 27. The Bible says this, he forsook Egypt. I'd like you to mark that statement, if it's your habit to mark or underline in your Bible. Three words there. What are they? Would you say it together out loud? He forsook Egypt. What does that mean? It means Moses left Egypt behind. Moses abandoned Egypt. We could say it this way. Moses turned his back on the world. It was right there at his fingertips. But Moses made a choice to forsake Egypt. Now, that would have been a difficult thing, being raised there in the palace. He lived a good life. He had the best of the best. But he made a choice to forsake Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Moses abandoned the world. He turned his back on the world. Please hear me tonight. To all the saved young people in this room, we need to make a choice, just like Moses did, to forsake Egypt. To forsake the world. Amen. to turn our backs on the world's sinfulness and the world's system. As saved people, we need to make a choice to forsake Egypt. Now, it would have been a hard choice. Here's the question. How did Moses make the decision to forsake Egypt? Well, look, first of all, in verse 27, I want you to see this. By faith, he forsook Egypt. You might look at that, by faith. You say, what does that mean? Well, Moses made a decision as an adult man to leave Egypt based on faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, if you know your Bible a little bit, it's called the Hall of Faith. How many of you ever been to one of the Hall of Fames? Have you ever been to a Hall of Fame? Anybody ever been to the NBA Hall of Fame up in Massachusetts? How about the Football Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio? All right, how many of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Williamsport? How many of you have never been out of Missouri? Don't even know what I'm talking about, all right? I'm only teasing. That wasn't very kind, was it? There's things called the Hall of Fame, and people want to make the Hall of Fame. Hebrews chapter 11 is typically called the Hall of Faith. Look in verse 1. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's the idea of your strong belief in the promises of God. Faith is something so strong, it's an actual substance where? In your spirit. Notice, faith is the substance. It's like real to you. It's like something you can handle. It's concrete to you of things hoped for. Now hope for is not like, oh, I hope I win the lottery. Hope in the Bible is a confident expectation in God. Hope is a confident expectation. Everybody help me. Hope is a what? Confident expectation. It's because you know the Bible, you believe in God. Okay? And we sang the ensemble song here, sang about hope tonight. That's awesome. And Jesus is our hope. Faith, notice verse 1 again, is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. We've not seen it, but it's evidence to us. It's real to us. Where is it real to us? In our spirit. Everybody help me. Where is it real to us? In our spirit. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. So when we read the Word of God, the world says you're crazy, but we know it's true. You say, well, how do you know it's true? Because God showed us it's true, and in our spirit we believe the Bible. It's called having faith in God. It's our trust in God, our belief in God. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Did you see that in verse 6? Are you there? But without faith, help me, young people, it is what? Impossible to please Him. Now, if you want to please God, would you say amen?
Amen.
Without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
Now, think about the word impossible. That's a strong word. I mean, you think about the word impossible. It is impossible for me to dunk a basketball on a 10-foot rim. All right, I was looking over here. Some tall guys in that section there. It looked like a few athletes there. And I thought, you know, some of those boys can ball. I could just tell. All right? And Brother Randy made mention of that. But the idea, I'm 56 years old. I capped out at about 5'7.5". That's about as tall as I've ever gotten. I've gotten older, so I've probably shrunk since then, right? And in my best, I was not grabbing the rim. Now, I like the ball. I played in men's league this year. But it's point guard, Brother Luke. I'm not grabbing the rim, all right? I'm not waving. I'm not postering you. You don't have to worry about that if that's going on. But the idea would be there's just something I could wish for, but it's not going to happen. It's impossible. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Young people, please hear me. You need to make a decision for you that you believe the Bible. Are you listening? I was raised by godly parents. My parents are a great man of faith. My dad, my mom's a great woman of faith. But it's not enough for you just to live off of your parents' faith. At a certain point, you've got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Are you listening? You need to know. You can carry your Bible. It doesn't mean you really believe it. It's got to get real. And Moses made a really tough decision. He was going to forsake Egypt. He did it by faith. It means this. He really believed in God, and he made the decision because it was something he knew he needed to do. Let's just get real. It's 2024. And the older you get, and eventually when you flip a tassel like some of you are going to do in just a few weeks, if you want to walk out the door of your local church like a lot of young people have done here recently, and I'm not here just to poke at people that are not here tonight, but there's whatever number of people, listen, they sat through youth rallies and youth conferences, and they were part of it in the sense of the external, because mom and dad said you're going, or friends were going, but as they heard preaching, it didn't really take root in their heart. As they sat in Sunday school, it wasn't really real to them and in their heart. The preaching, it wasn't really real. Because, listen, they may have held a Bible, carried a Bible, memorized the Bible, but they didn't really believe the Bible. I want to ask you a question now. You really believe this book? Are y'all with me? Listen. The reason why some people are lacking faith is because you're not strong in your Bible. Come on now. Faith cometh by, help me, hearing. Everybody, if you know that, if you didn't, now you do. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Would you say that? The Bible is the Word of God. Now get real radical. Hold your Bible up in the air or the pew Bible right now. Come on now and let's say it together. Ready? The Bible is the Word of God. You can put your Bible down. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you're not going to forsake Egypt if you don't take this book seriously. Yep. And you're all old enough to read your Bible. You're all old enough to really get it in your heart. Yep. I wonder, have you ever read the Bible through? Have you ever read the Bible through? Chet, how old are you, 11? Come here, come stand next to me for a minute. I'll pick on you. My man Chet here, all right? Elbow bump. 11 years old. I'm not bragging, but when I, that's nice to have somebody shorter than me, man. Someday you're going to be big looking down on me. But 11 years old was how old I was the first time I read my Bible through. Not bragging. Thank God somebody challenged me to do it. And I was 11 years old when I read the Bible through. Okay? It's a good goal to have. Let me ask you a question. You're how old? Have you ever read your Bible through? Come on. High school young man, look this way, please. I'm asking you a question. You've been raised in church. You ever read your Bible through? Oh, it's just such a big book. How much time do you spend on your game system? Headset on. Come on. Online, the boys are on with you. Yeah. Fortnite-ing it through the night. Fortnite all night. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Right? Come on now. 11 years old. You may be seated, Chet. Thank you. You know, if you got a recording of the Bible, you got a recording of the Bible, reading at conversational speed, without faith, it is impossible to please him at that rate. How long do you think it'd take to read that whole Bible through? You got a guess? How many hours? Take a guess. 36 hours? If it was 36 hours, you better be reading like Brother Randy talks. All right? Like an auctioneer. 72 is the correct number. How'd you come up with that? I'm impressed. You know you can read the Bible through in 72 hours? Now, every week you get 168 hours. But Luke, 168 hours every single week. Is that much time we get? And you could, at conversation, go ahead and look up how long a recording would take. 72 hours. I mentioned balling. Some of you guys with practices and games and come on. And here's the question. Are you serious about your Bible? Because, Brother Randy, we can put them in the greenhouse. We can put them in the youth department. If y'all don't get serious about your Bible, you'll never forsake Egypt. Because you're not going to have the faith to walk away from all the blinking lights, all the excitement, all of what the devil advertises. It's very attractive. It'll draw you right in. You'll find yourself living for that Tesla. Now, I'm not anti-Tesla. I'm just pro-Christianity. And if you start living for stuff, Fill in the blank for whatever it is that you like to have. You start living for experience. Oh, I just want to travel. Oh, I want to achieve this. I'm not against the sense of the things that we enjoy in the world that other people also enjoy. But I'm asking you, do you really have God and God's will and ultimately heavenly things as your top priority? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. The point is this, young people, we're just to be pilgrims passing through. We're not supposed to be driving our tent stakes down like we're going to just live for the here and now and for this world. Listen, it's not about this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But if all you do is sit in church and watch your pastor or your parents let their faith be real to them, and you're not getting in the Bible for you, you're never going to have the faith that Moses did when it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt. It's just not going to be real to you. I'm talking to young people. They don't even know if they believe in God. Young people, I don't know if I really even believe the Bible. Well, have you ever gotten into it? Have you ever read? Well, of course, I go to Christian school. I have to memorize a chapter a month. No. I'm talking about not just because, you know, robot mode. You know, I am Christian teenager. I go to, you know. No. I don't mean being a robot. I'm talking about where it's real. Is it real to you? The word of God. So by faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 11, 1, and notice it quickly, and we'll keep it moving. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So, we know how Moses forsook. Look at me, please. You're not in a cult, you're in a church. You say, who's that for? Somebody here that's got an older brother or sister or somebody used to be in your youth department that's now 22, 23 years old, and they're trying to talk you into, as soon as you flip your tassel, walking away from your local church and what your family parents have been teaching you. Yeah, you're going to go, how is the youth rally? Now, I don't know who I felt Brother Luke impressed to just say that right there, because no doubt there's some of you that you've been in it since you're seventh grader. Thank God for seventh graders. Amen. How many of you seventh grade? Raise your hand. Let me see all the seventh graders. Let's give them a hand, seventh grade, right? But some of you old head juniors and seniors that got some boys and some of the girls that are now a couple of years ahead of you and out. Come on. Oh, you got to go to the youth rally. Oh, you're going to youth conference. Oh, you're going to use the altar. Oh, how's the cult? You're not in a cult. You're in a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Are y'all with me? You better get in the Bible, because if not, you're going to get pulled out of church. Moses made a decision. He forsook Egypt, and it was by faith. That's how he did it. Let me ask you a question. Why did he forsake Egypt? I'm looking at my clock. If Pastor Randy had been preaching, the message would be done. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just not that fast. But here's the question. Why? Look in verse 23. Can I give you some reasons here real quickly? By faith, Moses, we're talking about he forsook Egypt. Why? When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because, notice, they saw he was a proper child. They saw he was a proper child. You know, Moses forsook Egypt because he knew God had a special purpose for his life. He was a proper child. Keep your marker in Hebrews 11 and go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. How quickly can you turn? I don't have any gift cards to give away. Some of you almost like died tonight for a gift card. Some of these events we had. Acts chapter 7 and verse 20. Notice this. Acts 7 and verse 20. In which time, Moses was born. Everybody there? Got some slow turning. Verse 20. In which time Moses was born, notice this, and was what? Exceeding fair. You ought to mark that. He was exceeding fair. Now, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, which says he's a proper child, here's what it ultimately means. Moses was a cute baby. He was. No, exceeding fair and a proper child. Look up that whole idea. He was a cute baby. I have a grandson who's 6 months. His name is Luca. Luca Charles. And you girls, if I had him here tonight, maybe I'll put a picture of him up tomorrow on the screen or we'll stream him in. Luca, all he does is smile. He'll look at you, he's got like this real slow grin. He goes, and he just smiled. Michael, his brother, is a terror. But Luca Charles, you girls, oh, he's so cute, oh, he's so cute. And he's exceeding fair. Now you think about it. Bless you, my child. What was that? My soul, that's the second time tonight. You need medicine, son. Goodness. Now, y'all think with me. For those of you who know the story, he's in this little boat they put together, and he goes floating down, and Pharaoh's daughter goes and opens up that basket. What if Moses was ugly? But Luke, that's the truth. What if that baby was, he's a Jewish baby, in the basket, here it is, Pharaoh's daughter. And if she opened up that basket and that boy was ugly, she might have just closed the lid and pushed him right down to the crocodiles down the Nile there. But when she opened that up, oh, he's so cute. I'm not making this up. It said, Brother Randy, he was exceeding fair. He's a proper child. Look what proper child means. He was a cute baby. You know why God made him cute? So that woman would want to adopt him. Oh, look at him. Oh, he's so cute. She picked him up. He looked. If I just smiled at her. Oh, yes. You know why that was? That was God's providential hand at work in his life. Do you know God made you exactly the way you are? That's why some of you boys are thinking, yeah, and that's me, Mr. Handsome. No, you're not. But anyway, the thought would be this. God made you just the way you are and for a special purpose. You're not on earth just to take up space. You're here to do God's will.
Amen. Come on.
God made you for a reason. And Moses forsook Egypt because he knew God had a purpose for his life. You're not here as an unsaved person to live for the world. God saved you. And since you're saved, you're not supposed to be satisfied living like unsaved people live. God has a better purpose. God has a higher call. God wants to use you for his honor and for his glory. Moses forsook Egypt because he knew God's got a plan for my life. Moses was created to lead God's people out of Egypt. Now, you're not better than anyone, but you're blessed. Come on now. How many of you feel blessed? Would you say amen? You may not be physically beautiful according to the eyes of the world, but you're beautiful to God. And Moses was spared from physical death for a reason. Are you listening to me? God saved you, spared you from hell for a reason. For a purpose. And Moses was serious about doing God's purpose. I want to ask you a question. You serious?
Yeah.
Do you want to do what God made you to do? Brother Luke Lid's camp. It's one of the reasons God put him on earth was to lead camp. God has him pastoring a church. God has him raising a family and his wife, his marriage, and God using them. God has a plan for you. God had a plan for Moses. And we need to put the Lord first. Quickly, why else? Moses forsook Egypt. Verse 27, because he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You know, Moses had faith in God, so he wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. Could I say it this way? Moses wasn't intimidated. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1? If you know it, would you quote it with me? The righteous are what? Bold as a lion. You know what lions do? They roar. You know, some lions' roars can be heard up to five miles. I mean, lions are called the king of the jungle for a reason. And that's what the Bible says. You're to be bold as a lion. Let me ask you a question. Where are the young men and young women with a spiritual spine that aren't afraid of the fact that the world is going to try to intimidate you so that you don't live for God? Hey, listen, stop being intimidated by the world. Stop being intimidated by what the world says. Stop being intimidated by what the world thinks. And just have some courage for Christ. Moses, look at it again in 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. It's pretty amazing. By the way, go to verse 23. It's talking about his parents, right? Everybody there? Y'all tracking? They saw he was a proper child. And notice this, speaking about Moses' parents, and they were not afraid, Brother Randy, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Brother Luke, you know what happens? A lot of times, parents that live with no fear of the world develop children that will follow in their footsteps and not have fear of the world. We encourage you, parents, lead by example. And Moses' parents did. And notice, ultimately, Miriam was fearless in talking to Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses and Aaron standing before Pharaoh, and they were confronting Pharaoh. And people do what people see, and Moses modeled his parents' fearlessness. They were willing to save their child. They were not afraid of the world. So here's what I want to say to all of you quickly. Find your courage. Find your courage. Find your courage. Learn how to stand out in the crowd, not so that you get glory to yourself, but in order to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ. And what I'm finding, and I don't mean it to sound pharisaical, like I'm better, but what I'm finding, there's a whole lot of people that instead of wanting to stand up for Jesus, they're wanting to sit down in the world so they don't stand out. Hey, you need to stand up and you need to stand out. And it seems like everybody in the world's coming out of the closet for whatever their cause is, and Christians are going and hiding in the closet. Hey, we're not here to act like a bunch of cowards. We're here to be bold for Christ. You need to stand up for the Lord. And Moses was not afraid. Notice this quickly, Moses forsook Egypt. Why did he do that? Because he knew he had a purpose from God, and he wasn't afraid of the wrath of the current king. And simply put, he knew he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, notice this, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Brother Randy, that's what he was known at his whole life. Well, you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But then at a certain point, he looked in the mirror. He said, you know what? I don't look like Pharaoh. I don't look like Pharaoh's daughter. In fact, I look like those people out there that are in slavery. Are you listening? The Jewish people were in slavery. And it didn't matter how much they tried to give him all the different things of Egypt and give him an Egyptian haircut and give him an Egyptian dress and teach him Egyptian language. At a certain point, here's what he knew. I'm not Egyptian. Now, you know what would be a great revelation for somebody here tonight? for you to look in the spiritual mirror and understand if you're saved, you're a child of the King, and you're not a child of this world's King. Are you with me? Satan, he's the prince and power of the air. He's the god of this world, but Satan is not my God, and I'm not of this world. I belong to King Jesus. When are you going to let it be known? I'm not Egyptian. I'm not of this world. When are you going to see it for yourself? And no matter how much the world tries to get you to be like them, when are you going to know I'm not of the world? I'm not an Egyptian. Do you know 2 Corinthians 6:17? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Everybody help me. Three words. Be ye what? Separate. One more time. Say it with some oomph. Ready? Be ye separate. Brother Randy, I don't want to spend just all my time trying to beat teenagers over the head. Do right, do right, do right, do right. We need a generation that wants to do right because you know it's the right thing and you believe it from the Word of God and you know you're truly saved and you know truly God made you for a purpose and you're not a coward and you know, hey, I'm not of the world. I'm living for the next world. I'm living for the real world, talking about my home in heaven for all of eternity, and I'm not going to waste the short life I have here on earth being like all the rest of the people of this world. I'm not one of them. It's a big deal Moses forsook Egypt. And it's a big deal for God's people to choose right and to forsake this world. Yeah, let me ask you a question. Why are you trying to imitate the Egyptians? Why? Why? God have mercy in our churches. Young people, again, I'm not here just to beat up everybody that's not me. But some of you have this idea of things that you see from some of the other churches and the way they do it. And I'm not here, again, just to say that I'm always the one that's got it perfectly figured out. But if what's happening on the church platforms and what's being preached supposedly from whatever Bible version that people do come up with, and it resembles more of the world and the world's system and the world's ways and the world's interests and the world's music and all the rest of it, that ought to just be something that you can look at and have enough spiritual discernment to say, that's not of God. Not everything with the title Christian is truly Christian. You say, well, what do you do? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, prove all things. That word prove means to test. Help me. Prove means to what? Test. You know how you prove it? By the Word of God. By the Word of God and with the help of the Spirit of God. And you ought to know what you believe and why you believe. And you need to know, hey, I'm not an Egyptian. Next, quickly. Moses forsook Egypt because he was willing to not take the easy path of the world. He was refusing the easy path of the world. Go to verse 25 quickly. Choosing. Hey, look at that word. Choosing rather to suffer what? Affliction. Are y'all reading that? Brother Randy, we're in a comfort-driven culture. It's all about comfort. You young people, we've been in church for however long, and I've been preaching a while now. You know, we got to be careful we don't go too long. Come on, we got to make sure, are you hungry? We got to feed you. Can you pay attention this long? We got to get a game. I got to jam it in here real quick. You know what it used to be? Young people could sit and listen to the Word of God preach and taught for a long time. Yep. Yeah. And forget young people. It used to be adults could listen. Yeah. But now our attention span because of our phones is like 2.5 seconds.
Come on now.
Y'all with me? Come on. Because I can't do cartwheels like he can to keep your attention. And man, he can do cartwheels. Brother Luke, we were in the halls of the U.S. Senate. And I dared him to do a cartwheel. I have that on video, by the way. Maybe we'll play that tomorrow. It's lucky we didn't both go to jail. That was providence. God kept us out of jail. Him doing cartwheels in the halls of Congress. But anyway, I can't do cartwheels to keep your attention. So we're in this soft age. Oh, we've been in church an hour and a half. Hey, Here's what Moses did, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Are you there? Please read it out loud with me. Verse 25. Choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction with the people. Then to what? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a sin. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think palace life was pretty cool for Moses, right? You know, I mentioned buying the little electric car for my grandson. I mean, whatever it was back in the day. What type of pony do you think Moses had? I mean, Egyptians were famous for their horses. Can you imagine? Oh, whatever the best of the best was. Moses, you come on. How do you think Moses living in the palace? Man, back then, especially his grandfather was considered God. Moses, whatever he wanted for breakfast, listen, it was just, and it was there. Oh, man, he rolled large with all the clothes he had, the toys he had. As he got older, man, all the ladies there in Egypt would have known Moses. He was a proper child. Well, he grew up. He didn't get ugly when he turned to be a teenager. He was a handsome man. He stand out in the crowd. Hey, the pleasure to see young people. Listen, the devil and the devil's crowd in this world and all that they put out there, and it can be enjoyable for a season. You know Luke 15, the prodigal, he went out and he went in the world and he lived it up. And my father says this, I love this, the hardest part of living it up is living it down.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yep.
And you say, what's the far country? Again, my dad, the far country is any place out of the will of God.
Yep.
And you know, watch this, you don't have to have a prodigal season, young people. You don't have to go out there for a while and play in the pig pen. You don't have to go out there and spend all. You don't have to go out there and let the world chew you up. You can make a decision. Choosing. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to suffer affliction? Boy, our American Christianity. Man, they're in China in house churches under threat of being killed. We sit down, and if the cushion is not soft enough, we think, man, we need to get these pews replaced. That padding, that's my spot, and that's not as comfortable as it used to be. Let's get some new padding. Come on now. Come on. And our church that we have in Berlin, man, it's a palace. Listen, I tell people this. You're not spoiled if you have a lot. You're spoiled if you have a lot and you don't appreciate it. I'm blessed. Brother Randy, I'm so blessed. It's embarrassing. Brother Luke, it's embarrassing how blessed I am.
Yeah.
Come on, the goodness of God.
Yeah,
come on. Man, I'm blessed. Young people, you're not going to hear me say, well, it's such a struggle to live for Jesus. I'm living the dream, man.
Come on.
I'm telling you, it's good.
Yeah.
But if you're going to lead the world, there's going to be some people that move a little bit.
There's
going to be some people pressure you a little bit. There's going to be some people say, well, you can't really follow that Bible. During COVID, we opened up our church after the governor said we could not. Five times I was ticketed. My father was ticketed personally for opening up the church. Our tickets literally said, the ticket was for opening Solid Rock Church. They left out Baptist there, but for opening Solid, it's like our neighbors here, are they here tonight? God bless them. I hope they're good neighbors. But for opening Solid Rock Church, five times, ticketed. We were in court for 2 years, year and a half. You had to sit there in court and go through, and back then it was Zoom court. So every crazy that got locked up for whatever, we used to sit there in these big giant Zoom rooms with all of them. It was a circus, man. People leaving their speakers on. For those, some of you remember Zoom? Flashback Missouri, you didn't care. You just ignored all the COVID protocols. But in New Jersey, man, it's a communist state where I live. And so we got ticketed for all that stuff. And ultimately appealed all the way up to Supreme Court and all the rest of it. And let me just go on record. It got real. It got real. When the police chief, who was a Marine, hated doing it, but it came all the way from our governor. They knew who I was. They interviewed me on CNN, on all of our stations there for Philadelphia, went around the world in the White House. They would have known about our situation. It got real when I got ticketed. When we pulled down to go and enter our church, they put a big blinking sign for all of our people that said up to 6 months in jail or a $1,000 fine for going against the governor's executive order. Let me ask you a question. And I know some of you are going to near have a panic attack, and I'm not trying to rock your brain tonight, but let me just say this. If it does start to get where there's a little pressure,
come on,
what if they don't follow the Constitution?
Yeah, come on.
What if things change? You still going to live for Christ?
Come on.
You still going to live for the Lord? Oh, I'm definitely going to. Well, if you're not now, what makes you think you will then?
Yeah, come on.
Everybody okay with this? I'm trying to get you to think about how real your Christianity is or not. And he knew he was an Egyptian, and he didn't just choose a soft life. He was willing to not take the easy path. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you suffered a little affliction to get the gospel out? I want to know, not just when the youth pastor said, all right, everybody get off the bus or out of the van or car or whatever you drove in. Take a gospel track and don't order your food until you hand out a track. All right? Don't make sure, a teen soul winning, do we still have these things, bus ministry, van ministry, car ministry, whatever. Somebody here in your public school, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus and they mocked you a little bit? Are you all with me? Maybe laughed a little bit. Oh, you girls, you go to church. Oh, church girl. Oh, okay. Can we handle that? Is anybody with me? Can you handle a little pressure back here, back section? Y'all good? You look good. Well, I'm glad. He just said, I go soul winning every Thursday. That's awesome. What soul winning is when we take the Word of God with the help of the Spirit of God, and we, by God's grace, show someone from the Bible that they're lost and they need Christ, and potentially tell them how to get saved. How many of you go to public school? Would you raise your hand? All the public school kids right here? Awesome. And let me ask you a question. Are you a witness for Christ in your public school? Those of you in the Christian school or homeschool, do you ever go out of the bubble? I didn't mock you. Oh, Brother Clark, you know, I go to a small Christian school. When I graduated, I was the only senior. Brother Randy, how many were in your class? Probably 500? 200. I was one. I went to an ACE school. How many of you know what ACE is, right? Right? I graduated. I was best athlete, class clown, most likely to succeed. Come on. I won it all, man. Don't whine to me about how we'd have a gym. We'd have our gym in our church for the first 25 years. Come on. Don't whine. I don't want to hear how hard it is. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? He did suffer for us. 1 Peter 2:21, listen, Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. You know, Christ died on a cross, and then, listen to me, young people, look at me. I'm not going to go, oh, young people, follow Jesus, and it's all just going to be wonderful. Here's what he said, take up your cross. What's a cross? Place to die. A die to what? Die to self? Die to the things of the world? I'm asking you, are you committed to your Christianity? Is it real to you? To where you're like Moses, like, I'm forsaking Egypt. Because he was willing. He said, I'm not going to just enjoy the pleasures of sin. What did he do instead? He forsook sin. Moses didn't love the world. He forsook sin. Why did he forsake Egypt? Because he forsook sin. Verse 25, quickly, I've already preached it. We'll just reread. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to forsake the pleasures of sin. He didn't want their immorality. He didn't want their ungodliness. Can I quote you a verse? Titus 2:12. I'll read it from my notes. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen to me. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This world that we're living in, we're to be stand out, we're to be different, soberly, righteously, and godly. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Last thought. Moses forsook Egypt because he esteemed the reproach of Christ. I want you to see verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, this blows my mind. Because Moses lived about 1,500 years before Christ was born. For any of you that really love your Bible, can I encourage you, by the way, learning the Bible is so much better than learning the newest video game. Learning the Bible is so much better, ladies, learning than whatever it is that you're into. I don't know. I'd have to think through. Like, what did I spend money on for my daughters? Ulta. Do y'all have Ulta in Missouri? Makeup, right? That's what I spent my money on. And my girls love to shop with me because their mother would take them, like, thrift store. And I just want to go out there and find something nice and quickly. So I'll just spend whatever. And that's why I'm still broke. I'm paying off all the years. But they would definitely rather shop with me. And whatever you get into, let me just say this. Getting into the Bible, it's rich. And I want you to look at that verse now. I want you to think about it here quickly. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. So 1,500 years before Christ was born, think with me, Moses, the Bible says here, esteemed the reproach of Christ. You say, what does that mean? Moses chose Jesus while living in Egypt. Think with me. Y'all listening? Read that book there. I want you to see this here. Do you see that? We're talking about Moses. Was Jesus born yet? He wasn't born yet here on earth. Messiah had not yet come. But that did not mean Jesus was not alive. And that did not mean that God did not reveal to Moses about Jesus. Because in making his choice, my King James Bible says, he was esteeming the reproach of Christ. He had a higher regard. He made a choice. He had an appreciation for it. He desired the reproach of Christ. The idea of identifying with Christ would bring reproach, identifying with the Lord. And to him, that was greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And here's what that means. Listen, before Christ had even come to earth, Moses was shown by God that Christ was real, and he chose Christ over the riches of Egypt. You said, Brother Charlie, how could that happen? Well, Moses prophesied about Christ. Deuteronomy 18:15, look at it quickly. Deuteronomy 18:15, we're going to roll here. But he talked about, if you remember later on, when they talked to John the Baptist and who he was, they wondered if he was that prophet. And notice here in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a what? Capital P what? Prophet from the midst of thee, thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. You know that's reference there? That's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses is a writer here of the book of Deuteronomy. Young people, let me say something. Moses knew there was going to be Christ. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God said, I am that I am. And in John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, he's called the Passover, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Are you listening? That Passover was a type of the blood of Christ that we sang about tonight, Brother Luke. There is a fountain filled with blood, come on now, and that Passover lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The serpent in the wilderness, Numbers 21:8, that was lifted up according to John 3:14, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. In Exodus 17 and verse 6, and Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11, there was water from the rock, and in 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says clearly that rock was Christ. So here's the thing. Jesus made clear that Moses wrote about Jesus. Look in John 5. Go now, and I'm blasting through this. This is a Bible study for any of you that are interested in it. But in John chapter 5 and verse 46, notice here what the Bible says. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Come on now, what's it say? For he wrote of who? Me. Are you there? Who's speaking here in John? Jesus is, and he's talking about Moses, and he said he wrote of me. Here's what I'm saying, young people. in the Old Testament age as they look forward to Christ, way back there 1,500 years before he took on flesh with the incarnation in Bethlehem, God revealed to Moses, hey, I've got a son, Jesus, and on whatever level Moses was able to understand, my Hebrews 11 says this, he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Here's what Moses said, I'll take Jesus over Egypt. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus so real to you since you have the Gospels and since you have the entire New Testament to read and since I could take you tonight like I take trips there and lead people there to Israel and we could go to Bethlehem where he was born and we could go to Nazareth where he was raised and we could go to Jerusalem and the region of the Galilee where he had his earthly ministry and I could take you to the place of Calvary and by God's grace I could take you to the garden tomb and let you see that there's no bones there because they took his life in the moment but thank God 3 days later up from the grave he rose. And watch this, after near 2,000 years, we are so close to his coming, he's coming again. If the rapture of the church happened tonight, you ought to be rapture ready. You ought to be living rapture ready because young people, I believe with all of my heart, in your lifetime, I don't have a verse, I'm not picking a date, but with all of my heart, I believe in your lifetime, pay attention, come on now. They knew Christ was coming the first time. Anna and Simeon and some others and those that were in their Bible, they knew it was close. And I don't think God's tricking us as we look at prophecy from the Word of God. I think we're so close to his coming in the moment. Be the remnant group. Be the righteous group that says, I'm going to be like Moses. I don't care about the world. I don't care what it has to offer. I care about my Jesus. And I'm going to esteem the reproach of Christ. I'm going to identify with Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had a recompense under the reward. Hey, he knew this. There was something better reward than anything this world could offer if he would simply stay true to Christ. Young people, when you see Jesus, it will be worth it all that you chose Christ. Hey, and by the way, it's not what you have to do. It's what you get to do. We love him because he first loved us. Tonight, you could be in a Buddhist temple. Tonight, you could be in a Hindu temple believing in polytheism with the idea of a multiplicity of gods and not know the true Jesus. Brother Randy, if my parents had not gotten saved out of Roman Catholicism, I might have become a priest. I don't know. But thank God, there was a moment in time when the sweet Spirit of God pressed in my spirit that the gospel is true and Jesus is Lord, and I got saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? I mean, is Jesus real to you? If not, you need to get saved. But if you're saved, would you decide tonight, like Moses, he forsook Egypt? Would you decide tonight? It's not just saying no to the world. It's saying yes to Jesus. Because when he looked ahead and knew, hey, there's a coming Messiah, he said, I'll take him. And there is a coming Savior. Oh, yes, young people, that trumpet's going to sound, and we're out in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to get to go and be with God in what is our true home and for all of eternity. And I guarantee you won't regret there choosing Jesus here. Jesus preached from Moses' books. You remember that? Think with me. Come on. Brother Luke, some of that you just got that right there on the road to Emmaus. You know what that was? Two guys, and he's talking to them. Brother Randy, you know where he was talking about himself? From the books of Moses. Come on now, first five books of the Old Testament there. Come on now, Pentateuch. Anybody know? Y'all pay attention to your Christian school Bible class? Come on now, Pentateuch. Come on now. I'm saying this, listen, on the road to Emmaus, their heart burned. And you know what he took? The books of Moses and said, there I am, and there I am, and there I am, and there I am. Hey, that manna in the wilderness, you know what that manna is? It's a picture of the bread of life. That water coming out of that rock, hey, that he'll quench your thirst, and you'll never thirst again. Man, I'm getting excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, young people, he's amazing. He's awesome. Are you listening to me? He's beautiful. Come on now. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning. I'm talking about Christ. He's compassionate. He's considerate. Are you listening to me? He's wonderful. He's the door. He's the deliverer. He's the day spring. He's the day star. He's everlasting. He's eternal. He's faithful. He's fearless. He's good. He's God. He's great. He's holy, holy, holy. He's high and lifted up. He's the I am. He's immutable. He's just. I'm talking about Jesus. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's lovely. There's no one like him. He's the master. He's magnificent. He's marvelous. Are you listening now? Oh, yes, there's nobody like our Jesus. Young people, he's the Nazarene. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's pure and perfect and powerful. Yep. He brings peace. He's real. He's our righteousness. He's our rock. He's our Savior. He's sure. He said, I'm the truth. People talk about the truth. Oh, that's the truth. He's the truth. Come on now. He's unlimited. He's the unctioned. He's the victor. He's the verily, verily. He's the way. He said that. I'm the way. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to decide tonight, I'm done with the world. I'm done. I'm forsaking Egypt. Count me in as a Christian for Christ. Let's stand. Altar's open. If you want to come, don't come to play, come to pray. If you're not coming to say, I'm forsaking Egypt, stay where you're at. That's a simple invitation. My invitation is forsake Egypt. Make the choice. Some of you in the middle crowd, remember at the beginning when I said some of you kind of stuck in the middle according to who you're with? Man, you ought to let it be known tonight. I'm on Christ's side. I'm on Christ's side. Some of you standing with some friends and you're kind of together, and Brother Randy referenced it in his invitation. Maybe you've kind of been rolling with the wrong crowd. You ought to grab your boys and say, let's go right down here. We're coming to the front. Here we go. Me and my friends, man, I'm forsaking Egypt. If nobody else comes, you ought to come by yourself. Come by yourself. If you're not saved, I want a couple of youth workers here. Give me one or two men and one or two ladies. If you're a youth worker, just pop down here in the front and stand and face the crowd, would you please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Charlie, I don't know I'm saved. By the way, I don't care who you are, what your last name is, what you already do in the local church. If your Christ is not real to you because you've truly never been saved, you need to get saved. Junk your pride tonight. Maybe you're brand new. Maybe you just came as a guest with one of these groups. But is there anybody here tonight, you say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior.